Morning worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to the pew pads, which are located at the end of your pews, we invite members and guests alike to take that, jot down your information, pass it down the aisle once it's finished, pass it back to the center aisle, and we'll complete that, collect that later on today. We just want to get a record of your attendance and say thank you for worshiping with us. Today is Father's Day. We want to say a special happy Father's Day to all of our men in the church. You are fathers to our children, and we thank you for help raising us. And it is special to say us, since I was raised here and now get to raise my boys here. And I thank you for all the men in the church that treated me like a son, even though you weren't my biological father. So happy Father's Day to all the biological fathers, but more importantly, to all the men of the church. Also, today is Father's Day, and we have a special day. We call it Baby Day here at College Park. Some people like to call it Child Dedication Day. And we just want to extend and say thank you and welcome to all the family and friends that are here to support the ones that are being dedicated today. There are several announcements listed in your bulletin. I will not read all of those, I promise. I'll just mention a couple of those. This Thursday is College Parkers, our senior adult lunch gathering. There's no need for you to bring anything. Just come and enjoy. Miss Sylvia Reedy is going to be catering that meal, and we are excited about that. Also, the Judy Taylor dancers are going to be here performing for us. I don't think you'll have to dance, since, you know, a lot of Baptists don't like dancing in church, but we will have a good time watching some other people dance, and so I hope you'll be here for that this Thursday, 11:30, that we do ask for a $5 donation to help cover the cost of the meals and stuff. Also, we have a family day trip. We're going to do, I think, four family day trips throughout the summer here at College Park. What those are is anybody in the church, that's church family, not necessarily your family. We would love for everybody in your family to come and attend, but if they can't and you just want to come, come and go and have a good time. The youth are joining us, and they're going to call in at Destination X. We're going to the same place, and this month, June 30th, we're going to go to the Lazy Five Ranch. The information's out at the Welcome Desk. You can check that out later on after the service. Also at the Welcome Desk, there's information about our first annual adult camp. Those dates are October the 21st, the 25th. There's a brochure. Take that. Read that at your convenience. Also, we are updating our church directory or community books and ask you to sign up. If you've not had your family picture taken for our church directory, we ask you to do that. Sign up at the welcome desk. Or if you've added a new addition, hence Baby Day people, if you added a new addition to your family, we want to get your family updated with all your new family members so our church directory is complete. It's so good to be in God's house this morning. Our ushers now are going to return down the aisle. And if you're a guest with us today, we just want to give you a little bit of information about who we are and how we do things. If you would, when they pass you by, just slide up your hand. There's a packet of information. Inside that packet of information is a letter from our pastor. There's also a Church Highlights, which is our monthly newsletter, which will let you know about a lot of things that I didn't mention here today, but other activities and ministries going on in the life of our church. But as we're here today worshiping, we have a mission team in New York City serving our youth and adults who are in New York. We want to remember them in our thoughts and prayers this week. They got there safely. They're going to begin work, I believe, tomorrow, work throughout the rest of the week, and then come home on a train on Saturday. So please remember them in your thoughts and prayers this week. Let's go to our Lord in prayer as we begin worship today. Pray with me, if you would. Father, it's truly amazing you allow us to call you Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for adopting us as children. Father, this day is we worship our earthly fathers and the men that are like fathers to us. We thank you for giving us a perfect example to show us how we should live as men in the gift of your Son. Father, that is why we gather today, to worship you because of what you've done for us. So this day, Lord, let us praise your name. It's your name we pray. Amen.
Oh, I'd like to introduce to you a couple of families, but before I do that, typically, you know, we have a parent-child dedication, otherwise known as Baby Day, yes. Parent-child dedication on Mother's Day and or Children's Day at Christmas, and we've done that for many years. We decided we would give the boys equal time today and do it on Father's Day, since we've got a couple of young men here to dedicate for you today. I want to introduce you. You'll see first here Spencer and his mom and dad, Josh and Maggie, and you'll see Hudson with his dad, Christopher, and mom, Hannah, and we are delighted, first of all, that Christopher and Hannah have united with us in fellowship. They joined during the 9 o'clock service, and I was going to announce that later, but we'll go ahead and get that out here, and we're delighted y'all chose to participate today. Fantastic time, isn't it, buddy? You're thrilled, aren't you? Absolutely thrilled. You're going to love this part because I'm going to read a bunch of scripture. Yeah, that's exciting. We are going to read some scripture because it's relevant to our purposes today from Psalm 127. Hear these words, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord." That's appropriate today. "They're a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies at the gate." And then from the New Testament, we read about the interaction of Jesus with His disciples, and especially the children. It says, "People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, 'Let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it.' And He took the children in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them." We want to invite you to participate in this moment. In your order of service, you will see a covenant of dedication. We all have a part in this. I will read the leader part. Parents, of course, will read their part, and we invite you to join with us for the part that is labeled people. Okay? Y'all good to go up here? Good to go. All right. "We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God, who brings them for this holy purpose. What do we affirm about these children? As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage? We will tell them about God who created the world, about Abraham and Sarah, the founders of our faith, about Moses who led our ancestors out of bondage, about Ruth's example of faithfulness, and about the prophets who spoke courageously for God against the superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus the Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the woman at the well who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about the worship and mission of the church. What will we hope for in these children? We will look to the day when these children will gather with us at the Lord's table, when they will declare faith in Jesus the Christ, confirm the heritage which we will pass along, and come as adults to choose full commitment to God's will and work. Do you, as the parent of these children, assume your primary role, primary responsibility for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations? And do you, the congregation, pledge to work toward creating a nurturing Christian environment for all of our children? Yes, we do, for they belong to us. Then may God be with us and help us. Amen. We have a New Testament to present to each child, as well as certificates for the child, as well as the parents, commemorating this day and encouraging them for the days to come. Straight to the mouth. Are you going to eat your shoe? How about this instead? You want a Bible? There you go. All right. Mom, Dad, certificates. Hang on to those. He took his Bible away. There's our sermon for next week. Okay. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the joy that we all experience at this moment, not just the parents, but for us as the body, as we celebrate life, as we celebrate the life that you've given to these parents as a loner. Because, Father, we know ultimately they are ultimately all your children. And we are just given the privilege and the responsibility to be good stewards, to raise them up in a way that pleases you and gives glory to you. God, we pray for these parents and for all their extended family, that you would give them the courage to walk each day and the wisdom to deal with all the pressures and the decisions that will be made. These things we ask in your precious Son's name. Amen.
It was baby day, but what else is today? It's Father's Day, so I want you to look out in the audience. Look at all these dads and all these men that are great father figures for us. And I want you to tell them, Happy Father's Day. Oh, come on, a little louder. On three, you ready? One, two, three. Happy Father's Day! It amazes me. What do you guys think a good father looks like? What do you think?
Friends.
Hold on. What do you think? Do you have an idea? You think for a minute, baby.
Well, it can be anyone.
It can be anyone, can it? Do you have an idea?
Can you rephrase that?
Can I rephrase that? What would a good father do?
I think I just yelled right into the microphone.
That's all right. Oops. What are some things a good father does?
That.
Helps you and everyone around them.
They help you and everyone around them? Yes. They are a good father. We've got some great fathers here at College Park, don't we? Do you know our Heavenly Father, God, is a perfect father, isn't he? And in the first book of the Bible, in the first chapter, it says God created us in his image. What's an image?
A reflection on the water?
It is like a reflection. Look in my bag. See what I've got here. What do you see?
That yours. Hey, look
mine.
At this.
I know, but don't look at that side. I have to have the big side so I can see. You can see in that side. What do you see?
Myself.
You see your reflection, don't you? Is that really you or is that your reflection?
My reflection.
Your reflection.
When it was through me, I saw Bodhi.
It's a reflection. And God calls us to be a reflection of him. He gave us our fathers. You see it? They're made in his image to take care of us. Also tells us in the Bible to be imitators of God as his dearly loved children. And that's what we want to do. We want to be imitators of God. And that's what all these men in our congregation strive to do as the men in the family of College Park. And so we want to honor them today. So at the end of our service, we have, and these friends are going to help me, we've got a little tie we're going to share with you. And let me just read what it says so I make sure I don't leave something out. It says, in your honor, a donation has been made to the Mentoring Project. And this is a ministry that recruits men to come in and help mentor children who don't have a father figure in their life. And because of all the things you do for us, the church has made a donation in your honor. And the boys and girls would like to share these with you at the end of the service just to say thank you. So will you guys tell them thank you? Thank you for all you do for us. We are so grateful. So guys, can we stop and pray together, please? Will you bow your heads for me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are a perfect father and a wonderful model for us. Thank you for the men in our lives. Thank you for their dedication. Thank you for their encouragement. Thank you for their love. And thank you for the wisdom they share. Please help us to grow, to be imitators of you as your dearly loved children. Help the words that we say and the things we do bring honor and glory to you, dear Lord. Please help us to grow in your word. Help us to grow in following your will. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, please accept this offering of our first fruits. Bless it and use it to further your kingdom, both in our community and around the world. Thank you, Father, for providing for our needs and for giving us a heart for others. Lord Jesus, let your light shine through us so that others can see you in us. Lord, help us to truly love one another. Lord, let us be thankful in all things and help us to see you in all situations. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Goodness. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. You know, if you looked at the sermon title, you went, what in the world? What in the world? Because there is a popular phrase that's used when a young lady behaves in a manner that is deemed inappropriate, and especially in a relationship, especially with men, where people say she has daddy issues. Have you ever heard that phrase? She just has daddy issues. Now, granted, men, dads in particular, we're the ones kind of have the issues most of the time, right? Some of which include the fact that we need to be fixers. Now, I've got a note here that says explain. I really don't think I have to explain that, do I? I mean, I really don't. We have this need to fix stuff. I mean, just give me the bottom line. What do you need? Let me fix it for you. And depending on who you ask, there are other issues maybe that the daddies have, that men have. For example, highly selective hearing. That is a fine art that is perfected over time, by the way. You're not given that when the baby is born. Another one is that we don't bring mommy presents. That's presence, not the other kind. And mommies need daddy's presence more than we are able to give sometimes or want to give. Another issue maybe we have is overly controlling of the TV remote. I don't know where that one comes from, but it's just there, okay? And another issue is that we don't always hear what is really being said, or so we're accused. Now, that relates back to that whole selective hearing thing, and it also relates back to that desire to fix it. Honey, just give me the Reader's Digest version. The last sentence is what I need to hear so I'll know what I've got to fix. Okay? And instead of just understanding, they don't need us to fix it, they just want us to hear it. Okay? Just hear it and then deal with it in your own way. And if you ask women, this list could go on and on. I did not take feedback from the 9 o'clock service because it became too numerous, and I didn't have room to write them all down. But I think you get the point. Men and women are just wired up a little bit differently. That whole Mars and Venus thing that we've read about, you know. But that's not what I'm referring to. When I talk about a young lady having daddy issues, really, that's not what I'm talking about. The Urban Dictionary, if you care or if you've ever heard of it, defines daddy issues as this. What a girl has when she is rejected by her father. It often results in her having trouble finding a significant other and trusting people. Girls with daddy issues will also sometimes date older men. Now, dads, our first reaction when you hear that may be to get just a little bit defensive. But there actually is a lesson here for us to learn. And that is our actions and our attitudes help shape the lives not only of our children, but also our wives. And the incredible journey of fatherhood, I understand it can get dampened, it can get heavy sometimes with the life circumstances that we allow to wear us down. You notice I use that phrase, we allow it to. And we do have a choice. Circumstances do not have to dictate our attitude, although we can argue many times they do. So what we want to deal with then is what does our attitude, what do our actions, how does that affect these precious gifts, these precious boys down here? How does it affect these precious children that we've been given stewardship over to avoid damaging them, to avoid giving them problems down the road that they have to in turn deal with? So how do we do our best then? Dads, how do we do that? How do we do our best to raise healthy children, especially those that don't have daddy issues? Let me read you one of the best stories about fatherhood that I think I've ever heard. It comes from Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. You've heard it before. Let me read it again. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living." Another translation says riotous living. You get the idea. "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs." A Jewish boy feeding pigs. Think about that. "He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the music changes here, by the way. When you're reading a story, it gets darker sounding. And it's in a minor key. It says, meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called on one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, catch that, that's important. This son of yours, no relation to him by that phrase, this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because who? This brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now he's found. You know, it would be easy. It would be really the easy way to do it, just to read this story as another story about an ungrateful son and how we should not grow up to be like him, right? Don't be this guy. End of sermon. Let's go home. Don't be that guy. I've heard sermons preached like that. But I think it's doing a terrible disservice, quite honestly. Yes, there is an element of that lesson in the story. Yes, don't get me wrong. There is an element of that contained. But if we really want to know what Jesus is teaching, we have to remember the context. Yes. The whole chapter. Luke 15 is stories about things that were lost, and the real lesson is in the reaction of those who were seeking. It's not so much about the lost objects, it's about the reaction of those who were seeking and how they reacted once the lost object was found. For example, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, there's a story about a lost sheep and the search of the owner to find that sheep. In verse 6, the lesson is pretty clear. It doesn't say this. It doesn't say, well, and sheep are stupid and they wander off, so don't raise sheep. That's not the lesson. In verse 6, it says this. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. Again, it's the reaction of the seeker that is emphasized. In verses 8 through 10, there's a parable of a lost coin. And in verse 9, we see the reaction of the woman when she finds her coin. Again, it's not, I shouldn't have even bothered looking for that coin. I had 9 more. No, that's not the reaction. She says this, and when she found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin. And in both of these cases, the ultimate application of the story is explained. Jesus does not leave that open for interpretation. He gives it to you right up front, okay? In verse 7, for the first story of the lost sheep, Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And for the story of the lost coin, Jesus tells them, in the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So with that in mind, we plow into our story. It says, and Jesus continued. In other words, it's part of the same process, the same thought process. The pattern's already set there. And so we need to read it with that context in mind. So yes, the younger son is a real piece of work. Yes, he is. In effect, in that culture, here's what the son, in effect, was saying to his dad. by asking for his inheritance. Here's what he was saying according to the norms of that culture. Hey, old man, I wish you were dead so I could get my stuff and go on with my life. That's what he was saying. That is the net effect of what he was saying. And unbelievably, the father didn't knock him out. He grants the son's request, even though it was rude and disrespectful. He grants his request, even though he probably knew his son well enough to know that no good would come from it. And yet he turns him loose. There is a subtle but very clear parenting tip here, dads, that quite honestly we have a lot of trouble with. And honestly, between me and you, this is a pretty tough Father's Day sermon for me to preach, because we all know that our adult children can make bad choices. They can make mistakes. And our life experiences have taught us that those mistakes can be emotionally damaging. They can be financially devastating. They can even lead to the death of your child. So how then do we balance the temptation to over-control our children in an effort to protect them, honest effort to protect them? How do we balance that over-control with the knowledge that we also need to begin releasing them so that they can grow and become mature adults? How do we balance that? Well, let's go back to our story. Not the part about how the son squandered everything and sunk about as low as any Jewish boy could go. Let's go instead to verse 20. The second half of verse 20. The son is on his way home. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. What does that tell us about dad? Yeah. Preach on, choir. Come on. He was not only waiting, he was watching, he was expecting. He was expecting his boy to come home. He knew that he could not live his son's life for him, but he knew he had to be watching and waiting so that when his son was ready to come home in a state of disrepair, that he could help restore him. They could help reconcile him. That was the dad filled with anger and disappointment anywhere along this journey, do you think? Sure he was. Sure he was. But Scripture tells us at this moment, he was filled with what? Compassion. The result was a celebration much in line with those celebrations that Jesus talked about in verses 6 and 9. Teach our children the importance of righteous living, yes. Teach our children that we all make mistakes and God is ready to forgive and reconcile, yes. Teach them that although we as parents have good intentions about our parenting, we will make mistakes and there will be time when we need to ask their forgiveness. Yes, teach them that. Teach them that the world we live in is incredibly dangerous and the righteous path has become even more important for their emotional, their spiritual, and their physical well-being. Yes, teach them all of that. But understand, you may teach them all of these things and do your best to train up a child in the way they should go, and yet your child may still choose to go their own way, perhaps meaning to return to the things they've been taught once they've had their fun. Dads and moms, I can't stress enough the value of being right here. Right here in this congregation, in this church, learning from other parents that have struggled with what you're struggling with, that are perhaps even currently struggling with what you struggle with, leaning on each other, learning from each other, being encouraged by one another. Because yes, daddies have issues. We do. But mommies have issues. And Children have issues. We've all got our issues, but the ultimate goal is to seek to not pass these issues on as parents to our children. But rather, as Proverbs 22:6 says, and I've already alluded to, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Is that a principle to parent by, or is it a promise? Yes, both. I heard both right just within the choir right here. Yes, it's both. It's a promise and a principle. Oh, and one more thing. Notice the contrast in the conclusion of these three parallel parables. You see, in the parable of the lost sheep, it ends with direct application. Again, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. That's the way that parable ended. The parable of the lost coin ended this way. Again, in the same way I tell you there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's the way those draw to a close. But in our story of this lost son, it ends with the older brother who had been given everything being bitter over the redemption of his brother who was lost and has now been redeemed. Father, God, that guy, that girl, that mom, that dad have done so many bad things. Surely they do not deserve the same redemption / salvation as me. Oh Lord, proclaim the Pharisees, I thank you that I am not like those sinners. You see, the final application is that we don't want to raise our children to be the older son either. We don't want them to be raised to be self-righteous any more than we want to raise them to be wayward as the younger son. Moms, dads, grandmothers, grandfathers, everybody in between, prayer partners, lovers of children, lovers of people in general. You know, we desire a righteous path, amen? We desire a righteous path, not only for ourselves, but for our children. We desire all of that, and yet we must be filled with compassion. We must be filled with compassion for all who are on their journey. For those who do not know the Lord yet, we must be filled with compassion. Put aside the judgment. Love people. Love God. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, how it comes alive through the stories that your son gave us to teach us not only about ourselves, but how we are to interact with each other. Father, teach us to be more like your son. Teach us to love each other and to love you. Father, as we do that, we pray that that would be a shining example to our children and our grandchildren and to all the other children that observe our behaviors as well as our attitudes. Father, we pray for your strength, because it's a daunting task. But Father, it's so worth the journey. For it's in your precious Son's name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. If you're here and you do not have that personal relationship with the Son of God who desires a personal relationship with you, we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. I invite you, I'll be here at the front, be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and you say, well, I am a believer, but boy, I've just got some things to get back in right priority. I get you. I understand. I went through that all week. So you can certainly square that with God right where you're standing and singing. The altar will be open. I'll be glad to speak with you if that's your desire. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I'd like to be a member of this church. There are ways that we receive members, many ways. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. ask if you would be seated for just a moment. Ken and Sheena Walker have come this morning. They are Brookridge residents. They've been worshiping with us for several months now. And they are both coming, having experienced believer baptism. They are coming on statement of faith, requesting church membership. Y'all come join me up here if you don't mind. If you will celebrate with them and pray for them, encourage them in their journey as they continue, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. Ken has been a pastor. Don't hold that against him, okay? All right, just so you know right up front, you can still invite him out to supper. You don't have to ask him to pray for the blessing, right? You know, so. But great couple. Come by and meet them at the conclusion of the service. They're going to be here. Matt is going to be standing with them following the benediction. I beg your forgiveness. I'm headed to Candler, Asheville area for Brian Kinzer's memorial service up there this afternoon. So I'm going to buzz pretty quickly. I hate I won't get a chance to speak to you, but you come and speak to them. Will you do that? I want to also let you know, as we talked about a few minutes ago, Christopher and Hannah have come and they've let their desire be known to be members here at the church. They expressed that in the 9 o'clock service. And last week in 9 o'clock service, Bitsy and Ron Griffin, who have worshiped with us in 11 o'clock as well as 9 o'clock, came and that they wanted to let you know that they are coming by transfer of letter from a sister congregation here in our city. So I just wanted to give you that information so when you see them, you can rejoice and speak a kind word to them as well. Would you stand, please, with me for our benediction? Gracious Father, thank you for the chance that we have to come and to worship you. Father, for this day of wonderful emotions, of joy to see these children and see these families. Father, joy to see those who have come to be a part of this church family. We pray that as we go out from here, we would truly go out with a sense of joy, a sense of renewed purpose in who we are and who we are to be in Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.